How do we respond to this message? Some of you might be here and you're thinking, oh, I don't know, has my heart been changed in that way? Am I really a child of God? Do I do the religious things I do in order to earn favor from God? Or am I doing the religious things I do because I really love God and I'm grateful? Sometimes I do it because I'm grateful. Sometimes I do it because I'm trying to earn favor. Sometimes I love God. Sometimes I kind of resent God's law. Sometimes I willingly obey, and sometimes I don't. And you can struggle. And you can walk away thinking, I don't know if I am a true child of God or not. Actually, I think that's probably a good thing. Not that we want to live in doubt and despair and never have assurance. But I am actually much more afraid for the person who has never doubted his own salvation than I am for the person who looks into his own heart, looks at the fruit in his life, and wonders whether it's real. You understand? The person who never doubts their own salvation, we just read about them. They're the person who say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? They had no doubt that they were getting into heaven. It's the one who knows himself well enough to know that there's a whole lot of sin there. And there's a whole lot of brokenness. And there's a whole lot of mixed motives. And there's a whole lot of junk. Enough to say, Lord. Jesus told another parable about this. The Pharisee and the tax collector. Remember that? They go up to the temple. The Pharisee says, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men. Now, he's thanking God. Okay, get this. He is thanking God. Don't say that he's self-righteous. He just thinks he is righteous, and he's thanking God for it. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. For I give a tenth of all I have, and I fast 2 times a week. And the tax collector comes, and he won't even look up to God. He won't even lift up his eyes, much less his head, and he beats his breast. And he says, have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, he goes home justified. The other man is in for a rude awakening on Judgment Day. So I have much more hope for those who doubt their own salvation, for those who struggle with what's in their heart, than I do for those who sit here and go, oh, this is a message for other people. I know I'm on my way to glory land. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says this about himself. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Paul says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. If the Apostle Paul, when sitting down to write Scripture, could say about himself, lest I should be disqualified, then I think it's okay for us to be a little bit doubtful about ourselves. Here's the key. You never doubt Christ. You never doubt the promises of God. You never doubt what God's Word says to you. And if you doubt yourself, which I think is appropriate, then you run to Jesus. Final passage of Scripture. We'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 12. How do we run this race? Paul said, in a race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize. He says, I do not run aimlessly. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 9, 26. We just read it. He says, I do not run aimlessly. Well, that's the negative. Don't run aimlessly. How should we run? Hebrews 12. Therefore, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. And when you say, this is hard, I'm trying to fight against sin, look to Jesus. Why? Because he's the founder and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Looking to yourself will and should fill you with doubt and despair. So don't look to yourself, look to Jesus. You can't ever get your heart to a clean enough condition where you say, yes, now I'm convinced that my faith is real because my whole life is a living sacrifice to God. No, there's always going to be sin in your life. There's always going to be reason for you to say, oh, but I didn't do that for the right reason, but oh, I really... Listen, I'm just going to get real with you, okay? I prepared this message, and I sat there this morning, and I saw that we had some visitors, and I thought, I hope they really like my sermon. What? We're never going to get to a point where we can look in here and have assurance. But we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. And we find in him our righteousness, our forgiveness, our peace with God, our strength, our encouragement, our joy, our salvation, our inheritance, our hope is in him. It is in him. And Jesus said this, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. And so we look to Jesus. And we find in him our assurance. And out of the assurance we receive from him, we love God. We love God. You can't love somebody that you think is a miser and you're trying to earn something from them. We love God because he's given freely his own son. And then we love others in his name.